T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is now 7:09 here at WCCO. How you doing? Seriously, how are you? You're listening to Steele Talk, and I'm your host, Geralyn Steele, and I love to ask that question from time to time because we're going through some stuff, aren't we? Honey, are you fortified? What are you eating? You eating your Wheaties? What's going on? Well, stay tuned. We're going to find out from the girls how they're handling things. In studio, Susie Jones, Shaletta Brundage. Here we go! Oh, yeah. You know how it makes me feel, right? Welcome to WCCO. The show is called Steele Talking, and I am your host, Geralyn Steele. In studio with me, as I said a moment ago, is Susie Jones, whom you just heard from doing the news. She's from our newsroom and one of the best. Also, Shaletta Brundage is our in-studio producer tonight, and we are driving this ship together. Mm-hmm. How y'all doing, ladies?
Good, good.
Doing so good. How are you, Miss Geralyn?
Now, when you say good, what does it mean, Susie?
Well, it means, number one, we made it through the polar vortex. That was
we
a
did.
Hard week.
We
hard
did.
Week.
I still got my hips. I don't know why this vortex won't take my hips.
I know, right? You think we're freezing, we should lose a little weight.
A little something, right?
My sister swears if you shiver, she read some article, if you're cold, you burn calories. So her house, I went over there this weekend, it was like 50 degrees. I'm like, Jenny.
That is such a lie.
I just
want you to know that's a
lie.
It
was a lie.
It's a lie.
It was 62 and it was cold.
It's unbelievable. Okay, so where do you keep your temperature at, Shaletta, in your house?
Oh, 74.
74 at all times?
At all times. Mm-hmm. I'm from Texas, so I like it warm.
Mm-hmm. Oh. How about you, Geralyn?
You know, my mother, you know,
yep.
I live with my mom.
Right, right.
She loves it at 78, 76.
Love it.
That's just too much for me, honey. You need to walk around naked. Look. You don't understand. You need to open up all the windows and just walk around naked. I don't know. What about you, Susie?
Well, I'm about 70, but my daughter does not like it when it's too hot in the home. Mm-hmm. So for Christmas, I got a space heater for up in my bedroom so that we can have the heat down where she is because she sleeps down in the basement. So she wants it cool at night, mm-hmm. and then I get my little space heater. But last night, I don't like to leave it on all night.
So she gets it her way, and then you get it your way by bringing the heater in your room.
But I almost cooked myself last night because usually I warm it up and then shut it off.
Yeah.
Last night, I fell asleep with it on.
Oh, Lord. You probably got a tan. You got a heat tan. Or had a heat stroke, right?
Right, one or the other.
Yeah, it's just too I can't take it when it's too hot, even when it's really cold outside. So,
yeah.
You know, that's a real struggle. But downstairs, I can go downstairs where it's nice and cool.
Mm-hmm.
Walk barefoot on that concrete floor.
Jeez.
Girl, I'm good to go.
But it was a tough week. I think a lot of people, you know, for us in the news business, we had to be out in it. And it was brutal for a lot of folks. And a lot of people had no school, you know, for 3-4 days.
You know, it all happened probably because somebody that's in the Winter Carnival was praying and got the answer. And so this year we turn around and remember the last decade, all of the ice sculptures were melting.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden somebody was seriously praying, and whoever you were, you need to call me tonight because, you know,
stop.
We got things to talk about.
Right. Now we have all this muck. I don't like this light drizzle, foggy, misty.
Yeah.
With the temperature right at that freezing point.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys take Uber?
I do.
Or Lyft?
I've never done it before.
You've
really?
Never done either?
No.
Oh, honey. When the weather
I hear
was
the
bad,
stories and it scares me.
Mm-mm. You know, I when my knee was injured, I was kind of like, okay, I'm not trying to park somewhere and have to walk a long distance,
mm-hmm.
right? So I started taking them. And it was great when the weather was fine. When we got that polar vortex,
mm-hmm.
this one I had in the car, she was such a sweetheart. But, honey, she was talking with her hands and driving with the other hand. And she's looking like, you know, oh, the road is kind of wet. I'm like, no, baby, that ain't wet. That's black ice. Slow down. She was going 65, you know, and so just talking. She's sweet as she can be. I'm like, can you put both hands on the wheel?
Please.
Can you just, you see that right there, that patch right there? You don't want to get on that patch. Seriously. So you realize that these great drivers have never driven in this kind of weather,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether you are a transplant, whether you are someone who was born, you know,
younger,
a little more than 15. Like, say if you're 21 and you're driving.
I know.
You have not been susceptible to this type of vortex, right?
Yes.
Not necessarily.
And you never know who you're getting with an Uber driver.
And you can't request a really great one.
No.
Okay, so the last one I had, she had welcome on the back of each of her seats. She was in a, like a small car. So it said welcome, and then she had like you have, Shaletta, she had fresh bottled water.
She know how to treat folks.
Snacks and little candies. And she was like, now you just help yourself. I'm like, what is your name, girl? Can I request you? She said, no, you can never request.
That's too bad.
That sucks.
You should be able to say who you want.
Right. Instead of some of these other ones, they go, so where you work, what you do, who are you? You got a husband?
Are you look in the window and you're like, you know what? Never mind. It's not even worth it.
Are they nosy, some people?
Some of them are. Mm. Some of them are nosy. And they're trying to start conversations, I'm sure. But, you know, it's like, don't ask me personal questions like that.
Do you know I was a Lyft driver for a little bit?
No.
What?
No. Shut up.
So at the state fair, they had a booth. And they said, if you sign up right now and you do 30 rides or 35 rides in 30 days, you get $350 extra dollars.
Oh, nice.
I'm like, yeah, I can do that. So I have a car and, you know, you get it inspected and then they do the background check and then you can go. And so I was so terrified at first. I'm like, oh. And I picked up these two guys. I'm like, I'm really scared. I've never done this before. And they were so nice. But I did it for my $350, and then I haven't really done it since, you know, because that was motivating to do it for money.
Right.
But I had some funny encounters. I had some people, like you said, that don't want to talk at all, and you kind of have to know not to push it. But I did have a chance, you guys, I don't know if I ever told you this, that I got to drive a woman downtown, and it turned out, I won't tell you the whole, because it's kind of a long story, but she was Eliza in Hamilton.
Wow.
Honestly.
Oh, her voice was so beautiful.
I know. I about drove off
the
road. Because she was going downtown. She popped in the car. She was going to the Orpheum. And I'm like, are you going to see Hamilton? She said, no, they don't play it. It's not on tonight. And I said, oh, what did I say?
Because you've seen it, right?
I had just seen it.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, I just saw it, I said, and she said, what was your favorite part? Well, I don't know who she is, you know. I'm like, I don't know.
Did she say Eliza was a favorite part?
No, I didn't say that.
No, I'm saying, did she say that?
Well, before I knew it was Eliza,
right?
She asked me this, and then I said I saw it, and she asked me what my favorite part.
Uh-huh.
I said, I don't know, the king. And then I said, have you seen it? And then she said, I'm in it.
Oh, honey. I would have pulled over, got out, and hugged her.
I wanted to have a picture.
Did you get a picture?
No.
I got pictures on the stage.
You did?
I'm not kidding you. My future sister-in-law had the hookup because her son is in theater in New York, and she had the hookup, and they were so kind backstage, and I was in the room where it happened.
In the room where it happened.
I love that CD. Have you started learning anything yet?
You mean...
like learning any of the songs or raps or anything?
No, but it was interesting because I did download the music from the play.
Yeah.
And I was listening to it in my headphones. And I thought to myself, someone had told me this. I think it's coming back.
Oh, I hope so. Shaletta, you didn't see it, did you?
I gotta look.
You have
no,
got,
we had tickets and
it.
The baby got sick while we were downtown. So we
who'd you give them to?
My friends Justin and Susie Pihowski, they called their in-laws to go with them.
Their last name is Pihowski?
Pihowski.
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 Mm.
I would love to know how they spell that.
P-I-E-H-O-W-S-K-I.
Oh, it's really Pi, for real.
It's really Pi. And my kids call him Uncle Pi.
Uncle Pi.
Uncle Pi and Auntie Pi.
Why not?
I would.
You know? But all I'm saying is I wish I would have listened to that music more before I saw it. Because I'll tell you what, it's fast.
It's fast. But I could understand what they were saying. I think there were only two songs that I missed some of the lyrics.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, I'm trying to learn it all, honey.
It is something else.
You know that song, Theodosia wrote me a letter every day, day.
Oh. You could just sing it all. I
would love to. Girl, it's terrible.
You and Steve Simpson, we'll go do some karaoke.
We got to do that again. Didn't you guys
Honor.
Go again,
yeah, we did.
Did you go back to Honor?
Yes.
Really?
And
how did it go?
It was great. It was fun. It was a fun night. I was there after midnight, which is rare for me.
It is. What did you sing?
I sang, I wish Jonathan were here. He would know.
Oh, you don't remember anything? No. Did you do an Aretha tune?
No.
What? You didn't honor the Queen of Soul?
I know. Aretha's hard to sing. But all I'm saying is that I sang, and then I'm not a good singer at all.
Yeah.
But I love singing. And so I did kind of a group song, like at one. Why can't I remember? Because, see, I'm old. My brain does not work.
That's because we're tired. We're not sleeping enough.
I know, but my head, I mean, I should know. It was a fun night.
Just like me. I said, I introduced us, and I said, we're going to ask the girls this question. What question did I say?
Have no idea.
See? You don't remember? What about you, Shaletta? What's wrong with us? You're going to love me anyway, right?
Yep, and I got drool on my down my mouth.
I'm telling you, it's just, I mean, seriously, I really think we don't sleep enough.
I think that is
one of the biggest challenges. And by the way, there's so much going on in the world right now that we need to pay attention to.
We do.
By the way, how would you feel, Susie, if I walked in this room with a blonde wig on, blue, baby blue contacts, my skin was painted white with something, right? And I looked like a white girl walking in. And I go, hey, Susie, how do I look, girl? Ain't this cool? How would you feel?
I think you lost your mind, number one. But I do think that Virginia governor should resign.
Yeah, exactly.
In this day and age.
Did you guys hear what's happening right now?
What's happening right now?
He just called an emergency meeting.
Oh, good.
Okay.
During the Super Bowl.
Okay.
So I think he is probably going to scurry out of the back while we're all watching the Super Bowl.
Oh,
but
really?
But ABC just reported on Twitter that he called an emergency meeting
with
his staff. This was moments ago.
So is he going to come out and talk to the public?
I don't know.
He may just issue
a statement. I mean, it's the Super Bowl going on. If he wants to run out of the back door with nobody watching, this is the time.
Yeah.
Nobody's paying attention right now.
So I'm looking at the Super Bowl. I didn't know Maroon 5 was performing.
Oh my
How
Lord.
Did you not know that? They've been
talking about
that.
I thought they pulled out of it.
Look at that cat with no shirt on.
I thought they pulled out of it.
God.
I know, girl.
No, no, no. They canceled the news conference. That's probably what you're thinking about.
Okay, they didn't cancel. I thought they canceled out
show. They canceled their big news conference ahead of the show.
I gotta get some sleep, honey.
It's okay. I'm right here with you.
Look at his chest.
I've been looking at his chest now. Now, you know that's what caught my attention.
I know it did with all those tattoos.
Yeah, and I haven't been able to watch the game at all, so I don't know what their uniforms look like this year.
It's a boring game.
I'm just watching for the uniform, you know.
I know. I like, there you go. You know, all I'm saying is nobody's scoring. I think it's like 3-2.
And how did Gladys do?
I didn't hear Gladys sing. Did you hear?
Yeah, she did. I didn't hear. But boy, I was getting texts going. She was amazing.
She sang the national anthem?
Or either God Bless America. I can't
God
remember
Bless
which.
God Bless America, because national anthem was two women.
Right.
Beautiful.
We're two women, yeah. And I heard they did a great job,
That
too.
Was gorgeous, yeah. But I didn't know. I turned away to keep. I had a fair amount of work to do today.
Did you know? That's our excuse, and we're sticking with it. Okay, we got
to
take a break, and then we'll come back in a moment.
Ya.
Good to see you, Susie.
Love
ya. So let's see. You are listening to Steel Talk, and I'm your host, Geraldine Steele, and I'm still trying to figure out, didn't Gladys sing God Bless America, or did she sing the national anthem? I'm so sorry that I am behind the boat on this, but Shaletta will find out for me. By the way, she's our in-studio producer, so that's the other voice that you will hear for these next few minutes. You know, I have to tell you, singing the national anthem is not as easy as God Bless America, which, by the way, I happen to have an affinity for God Bless America. I prefer that song. But, you know, people just don't know. And when people are asked to sing the national anthem, that is the one song where everyone is trying to make sure that they know the lyrics, that they do not blow the lyrics. You've seen that a lot of times with high school students at high school ball games, and someone comes out that really has a pretty voice, and maybe he or she is really nervous, and they forget the words, and some of them drop the mic and just run off. Or, you know, you've seen the videos of things like that. But the bottom line is, stick with it. Stick with it. Even if you make a mistake, stop and go back to that point again and say it's worth getting right. It's worth getting right.
Now, Steve Thompson had a question because he was talking about this. He was pretty obsessed yesterday when I was producing his show about how difficult it was for singers in that environment with all the cameras and the football and the big game and all the eyes are on you to sing the national anthem. I mean, is it the pressure? Is it the difficulty? Is it being outdoors? I mean, you know, what is that atmosphere like?
Well, anytime you're singing, if you're outdoors singing the national anthem, the weather is going to affect your voice in some way, whether you have an allergy to, you know, mold in the air, you know, if it's a ball game or a baseball game, or if it's a football game and it's too cold, too dry, it can really affect your vocal cords. And so there you are. A cappella, usually, Usually, unless you have one of those where someone did a track for you and you're singing with the track, then that's different. But it can be really tough if you're just. But the nice thing is, if you're singing it a cappella, you can drop the key. You can kind of adjust, you know, but you want to make sure that people can sing along. And I'm one of those who believes you need to sing the Star Spangled Banner where people can sing along with you. That's how the national anthem should be sung at the games. Although I must say, I do love Marvin Gaye's version. At that basketball game, there is video of that if you ever want to look it up. That was the sexiest national anthem I have ever. Do you know that version, Shalala?
I remember seeing that as a little girl, and I've watched it as an adult. I mean, he just basically broke it all the way down. It was an NBA All-Star game.
Yes, that's what it was. Mm-hmm. You forgot all about the NBA game, girl. He was awesome. And so Whitney Houston, I think, was one of the first to do it to a track, when she sang to a track that time, which was fantastic.
So you don't sing it so that people can enjoy it. You sing it so that people can sing along.
Yeah, it's to me, it's that's okay. The way it
for
the
me. Way Whitney Houston did it. We could
no,
join.
No, there was no way you could join it. And a lot of people prefer that. For me, if I'm gonna sing it, I prefer, like the Steels, we break into harmony halfway through the song, and then we do harmony where everyone can still sing with us. We don't add much to it at all. We keep it pretty simple. Very powerful, but very simple. So that's how I feel about it. Hey, we have a great show lined up for you tonight, by the way. There's so much to talk about, so much in the news. You know, it's just like when you're trying to put together a show with producer Jimmy Erickson and Shaletta Brundage, it's hard to figure out which one you're going to stick with. You know, you hope that you can get the guest in. But boy, there's so much going on. It's like, okay, so where do I land? What am I going to talk? Who do I want to talk to about this thing? It's just, wow, we have a lot going on in our world right now, and it seems to be at our doorstep, doesn't it? So at 7:35, we're going to have two guests in. We're going to have Mary Nash, who is the deputy chief of the St. Paul Police Department, and also Mike Flaherty, who is the deputy director of public safety for the city of Richfield's Police Department. And we're going to talk about the shortchange of not having enough police officers. And this seems to be a national problem. There just doesn't seem to be people that necessarily want to apply. Is it the money? Is it the job and how difficult the job is? There's so much to this, and I've got so many questions. I'm looking forward to seeing them or talking with them at 7:35. Then at 8:10, we're going to talk about how if 2019 is the year that you wanted to build up your brand, how should you go about doing that? Because building your brand means a whole lot in this. If you're self-employed, if you're an entrepreneur even, we're going to talk a little bit about what that means. And then at 8:35, we're going to have in studio with us a what do you do segment. Now, when you hear that song, that little segment, I love the track to that. My nephew actually recorded that for me, wrote it and recorded it. And it asked the question, so what do you do? And so we get a chance to find someone, then we don't have a clue what they do. And then we get a chance to talk to them about it. So thank you, Jimmy, for setting up our guests for So What Do You Do tonight. And then, of course, at 9:00 is All Things Arts and Entertainment. My brother JD is actually going to be on the phone with me tonight. Also, David Lefkowitz, they are working on an opera together, and I can't wait to talk to them about that. Also, we're going to talk to Marcella Lorca. You've heard of her over at the Guthrie Theater. She has directed a lot of pieces, but now she has been named 10,000 Things New Artistic Director earlier this year. So we're going to talk to her about what that means, following in the footsteps of Michelle Hensley and so much more. Maddie Braun is going to join us as well. She's chasing her musical dream in Nashville. Let's find out how she's doing. And Jerry Brom is also going to join us at 9:50, and we're going to talk to him about what's going on at Canterbury Park. There's a lot going on. And yes, tonight, Michael Battle is joining us all the way from Los Angeles for the Mom and Michael Hour. I am so excited to have him back. So stay tuned for that tonight. You are listening to Steele Talking. I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. Coming up next are two guests, the police force. We'll be back in a moment. It is now 7:34 here at WCCO. Welcome back. You are listening to Steele Talking. And as promised, my first guests joining me tonight are police who are involved in the police departments. And let me tell you a little bit about what we're going to talk about tonight. Police recruit numbers are at their lowest totals in some areas in a decade. So how do police departments overcome negative stereotypes that are often portrayed in the news to get new recruits? Well, joining me to discuss that and so much more is Mary Nash, and she is the deputy chief of the St. Paul Police Department, where she has worked tirelessly to help build a department with new recruits through various strategies over the years, as well as Mike Flaherty, who is the deputy director of public safety for the city of Richfield's police department. Richfield actually had a long history of a strong and well-diversified law enforcement unit. So welcome to you both, Mary and Mike. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
All right,
you.
Mike, you're there. Great. I'll say, let's just jump right in. Mary, what all does your job as deputy chief of St. Paul Police Department entail?
For me in particular, I oversee the support services division. So that's the training unit, the technology unit, the building maintenance, our employee assistance program, the fleet management. So all those things that hold up the rest of the police department. So support services, meaning that we support all the other functions, whether it's the patrol officers or the major crimes investigation parts of things.
And when you say you support them, in what way?
So it's the fleet unit, the cars that they drive on the street, making sure that they have the cars, the building maintenance unit, which making sure this time of year that there's heat in all the buildings, air conditioning in the summer, that the buildings look clean and presentable. The training unit, the first line in giving our cops the skills that they need to get through their career in law enforcement.
And has that job as deputy chief, has that been expanded over the years? Because I have to tell you, that's not what I remember a deputy chief doing. So that's a big, huge job.
Well, we have several divisions with deputy chiefs. So we have deputy chief that oversees the patrol division, the guys and the gals out on the street that are out there in the cold and the rain tonight and the cold and last week. We have a deputy chief that oversees the major crime division, which is the investigative division.
Okay.
And we'll soon have a community engagement division.
So when is that going to happen?
Oh, somewhere over the next couple of months.
Okay.
Taking a look at how do we do things more efficiently and better.
All right. And Mike Flaherty, who is Deputy Director of Public Safety for the City of Richfield's Police Department, same question to you. What all does your job entail?
So on a smaller scale than what St. Paul has, I'm the Deputy Chief for the for our police department. So I have three direct reports, but my direct reports are all lieutenants. And each one of my lieutenants has kind of the same job duties that Mary was just talking about. So I have an administrative lieutenant who does our training, our community outreach. Those are really the two main functions there. A patrol lieutenant who handles everything related to our patrol division. And then Lieutenant Joe Griffin is in charge of our investigative unit. Mm-hmm. And within our investigative unit, we have general investigations. We have our school resource officers are there. We have our narcotics unit. So I'm really responsible for the police department when you look at RPD.
Does each police department in, you know, all of the areas here in the Twin Cities metro area, do they have the choice of how they define a deputy chief? Do you know, Mike?
You know, I look back at our history, and we didn't have one for a while. We had that rank structure is really up to your leaders, your political leaders, and your police chief. But for years, when I was coming up, we had two captains, mm-hmm. and one was administrative, and one was over patrol. So, yeah, I think chiefs get to decide kind of how they want their department set up.
Yeah. Now, Mary, I just mentioned that you have worked tirelessly to help build a department with new recruits through various mm-hmm. strategies. Can you tell us more about the strategies?
Well, a couple things that we've done in the last year is holding several women's recruitment events. We held two events last year. A couple weeks ago, we just held our first 2019 event. Before our police test, we hold orientation sessions so that we can answer any questions that people come in that are signed up to take our test, answer questions about our department, about the testing process, Same with the women's recruitment, talking about that career in law enforcement and what people can expect out of the career.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Shaletta Brundage, you know her. She's been working mm-hmm. with you, going into some of the beauty salons, working, trying to get people, women, to kind of look at this as a career move. What have you found out so far?
Well, one of the things, women coming into law enforcement, those numbers have dropped in recent years. Mm-hmm. And so right now it's really important to go out and generate that interest and talk to young girls, young women about a career in law enforcement, sharing experiences that I've had, that other women in our department have had, the opportunities that we've had, especially in a larger department. So it's important to be able to be out in the community and answering the questions that young girls, young women have. And not just that, but just anybody that's interested in law enforcement. I find when we're at events, when we've done our orientation sessions, that, you know, women, men, they have questions and they want to understand more about the job and more about the challenges that we have currently in the job. Mm-hmm. At our recruitment or orientation session last week, a lot of the people that attended had questions of, well, what was your biggest challenge coming into the job? What were the things that you didn't expect that you had to go through? A lot of the women will ask about the challenges, sometimes about what I've had to do to overcome some of those. So especially in our women's recruitment event, we have a lot of the women that are already on our police department mm-hmm. talk about the pathway into policing. And what we find through those stories is we start to relate on a personal level with these young girls. So by sharing our challenges, our experiences, our pathway into policing, we give hope and we give confidence to the women that are sitting out there wanting a career in law enforcement, but not maybe having the confidence in that moment, or maybe just having some uneasiness about it.
Mm-hmm. And how, what is the percentage of women on the St. Paul Police Force?
I think we're somewhere around 13 to 16%. We have almost 100 women out of the 630 officers on our department.
Wow, that's amazing. Mike, are you seeing about the same number?
Out of 45, we're authorized 45 sworn, and we have 9 female officers.
Right, right. And so are you also working to get more women involved?
We don't have anything really directed towards women specifically. We've been more focused on diversity. We've been really focusing on people with language skills, specifically mm-hmm. Spanish. Mm-hmm. We have between 16 and 20% Hispanics in Richfield in our demographic. So we've really been focusing on that demographic and working in that area. But with that said, 9 women on our department's more than we've ever had in our history. So that's moving in the right direction. That's a great number for us.
Yeah, and the reason my questions are going this way is because, you know, the City Pages and other articles have been written about how people do not want to apply to be a police officer. Some say that they get disrespect, that they, you know, why do you give yourself so much, you know, give so much of yourself and feel like they don't get enough back? Is this based on, Mike, maybe people are frustrated because they don't get paid enough as police officers? Is that one of the complaints?
I don't know if pay in Minnesota is an issue. We recently hired a guy from Georgia, and the pay in the southern part of the United States sounds like it's horrible. So I don't know if pay is an issue. I think it's maybe more that the scrutiny that the police have been under in recent years. And, you know, with a good economy, maybe people are going in other directions. And, you know, I don't know, maybe people are just wondering if they really need that headache being scrutinized so much. And it seems like the police are under the microscope all the time. I don't think it's a pay issue. I think our officers make pretty good money.
But, Mary, isn't it that police officers have always been under the microscope?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and, you know, I'll be hitting 30 years here in April. You know, we can go back to 1992 after the Rodney King incident and how that changed law enforcement and how law enforcement changed after 9/11. And, you know, you can pick over the course of time, law enforcement has changed by the incidents that have been out in the community and the community saying, this isn't for us. We demand better. So in the last few years, you know, with the narrative the way it is, the spotlight, I think that's part of the low numbers. I think, like Mike alluded to, the economy, and I think that helps where jobs are. I mean, but I think the real key to get people in law enforcement is generating that interest early, especially when there's a good economy and jobs. They can pick whatever they want. So much like, you know, in high school, you see the armed forces in high school selling, you know, the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines every day.
That's exactly what they're doing is selling it. You're right about that.
But we're not there selling a career in law enforcement. My career in law enforcement was generated by St. Paul police officers in the eighth grade when they were in the junior high schools talking about juvenile crime and crime issues and how to stay out of trouble and, you know, talking about the functions of being a police officer in the mid-1980s. That's what generated my interest in law enforcement. Mm-hmm. And albeit in the early 80s, there weren't many women on the police department. I find out when I get hired in 1989, women had to sue to become police officers
Incredible.
In St. Paul in many agencies.
Yeah.
And when you think about it, that's really not too far. That's not too far in the past.
It's so true. If some people think that 91, 92, like we're ancient, but it's not.
Yeah.
Now, we got to take a break in a moment, but I want to set up this next question. Mike, and I want to come to you when we come back from break. But the article in the Star Tribune stated that it comes a time when law enforcement agencies, large and small, are struggling with a shortage of officers nationally. My question will be, are more guns on the streets really the problem here? So we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment. It's now 7:48. Welcome back. You are listening to Steele Talk, and I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. And as we stated before, my guest in studio tonight, we're talking about police officers and how difficult it is, even nationwide, but particularly right here in the Twin Cities. We're talking to Mary Nash, who is the deputy chief of the St. Paul Police Department, and Mike Flaherty, who is the deputy, let me get it right, deputy chief, right? Is that right, Mike?
Yep.
Okay, sorry
deputy
about that. We
chief,
had deputy director, but deputy chief of public safety for the city of Richfield's police department.
Right.
And as I stated once a moment ago, I really wanted to start with you on this, Mike, with this Star Tribune article that kind of talks about this. And I'm wondering if this whole shortage of officers nationally, especially here in the Twin Cities metro area, is it because of more guns being on the streets and more powerful guns at that?
I'm not familiar with the article. What's the connection between the guns and the shortage of officers?
Because I worry or I wonder if, you know, when you are going after people or, you know, people are getting in trouble, they're stealing, they're killing, they're beating, they're domestic, all of that. And each time you come to do what you do as police officers, your police officers get there, are they, you know, I know that they're trained to deal with people who may be armed, but those arms are changing. Is this what may be kind of discouraging, particularly women, from wanting to go into the police force?
I grew up in a police family. I don't know if that our cops are as brave as they've ever been. They're courageous. They go places where other people don't. I don't know if that.
No. I know that. Those that make it, they absolutely do what is expected of them. I get that. But when you hear these the articles from the Star Tribune, City Pages, the Pioneer Press, they're all writing about this shortage. And could that be based on what they hear in the news, what they think is happening? People go, no, I don't think I'm ready to get into that.
Yeah, I don't know if that gun issue is part of it. I think Mary and I kind of touched on it, whether it's the economy, whether it's the narrative that's out there.
Mary, do you agree with Mike?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that people that come into law enforcement know that the dangers. Is it bothersome and worrisome? Yeah. Does that keep some people away? I think that's probably a small percentage. I think even with our, you know, when we bring people up through the organization through, you know, Explorers Reserves, our Law Enforcement Career Path Academy, they get kind of, they get to know what lies ahead, right? And like Mike alluded to, we train people for those incidents. So I don't know. It is a dangerous world. It is way more violent than it was when I started. Mike probably sees that in his city also. But I don't know that that's the factor that keeps people out in, as a whole. I think that's probably a percentage, but it might be very small.
Okay, so there's, when the challenges are not with the academy, those that graduate, and then some of them, you know, a small percentage may drop out after they get in. But those that really want this, they really go after this.
Yeah, you know, and that getting people in the interest and getting people in the doors is one thing. You know, in our academy, we have a very small percentage of people that drop out on their own and say, hey, this isn't for me. I mean, it happens maybe once every couple years. Sometimes, you know, as they go through the training, things just don't work out. That's a whole different story. But I think people that come in, they know what to expect. As far as the dangers, I think you alluded earlier about, you know, the challenges with some of the negativity and stuff that can drain on people. But, you know, we've started a wellness program within our organization. We have a pretty robust employee assistance program that reaches out to officers when there's that traumatic event. And I think we're getting better about talking about and recognizing and making it okay to feel when you go through an event that is traumatic or a critical incident. And where when I came on, it was kind of that suck it up, don't talk about it. But we also have people coming into the organization. They grew up in a time where it was okay when they were in school. If something traumatic happened, they were counselors. So we do have a lot of our younger officers. They're really good about asking and reaching out for help. And we just have to do a better job from the top on down to that in-between stages, people in my generation, of we have to be okay and we have to make it okay to talk about the challenges, to recognize and acknowledge that there's some tough days out there for our men and women.
Well, it's really great that we're seeing women out there. I think her name is Anna Taylor from the St. Paul Police Department, right? And she's actually taking it to the movie theaters. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yep. So we started we did a recruitment video where Anna Taylor was the picture behind that. And the theme is Be You With Us. And that's part of the change in law enforcement. You know, it's not your grandfather's police department anymore. It's changed. Our department, anyways, changed, evolving that. We've even changed our training where it's less militaristic coming through that academy. But you get to be you with us and bring the best of you into the St. Paul Police Department, and that best of you then into the community of St. Paul.
Wow, that's incredible. So congratulations on you taking another step. And then before I let you go, Mike, I want to ask you about what's next for the police departments when it comes to technology. We're seeing that with our military. We're seeing the changes with technology. I mean, I'm asking this question. It may sound really serious. I mean, really silly. But seriously, are we headed towards RoboCops? Are we looking at more and more? Seriously, I mean, is that what we're going to see in the next three decades?
I don't know about that. For Richfield PD, our next move as far as technology probably is body cams. We don't have body cams at this point. They're pretty expensive to equip your department with, and as a smaller agency, it's a very high cost factor for us. But I would picture maybe in the next two or three years we'll probably be going to them.
Wow, that almost seems like it's too late. I wish you had them now. And this is for the Richfield Police Department, right?
Correct.
Wow, incredible. Well, that has always been in the news. There's so much more. I'm looking forward to hearing more about what you are doing. If there's one thing that you want people to know, Mary, right now, as you're trying to recruit particularly women or anyone that may be interested in being a police officer, what would you say?
I would say that being a police officer, you can have the biggest impact on somebody's life in their worst moment. And they will remember that for the rest of their life. And someday you'll cross paths with that person, and they're going to tell you, you helped me when I was down. And those are the moments that you know that this job is worth it. Going out there and making a difference in your community, attending those events, to me, those things are worth it. This is a job of service, and when you can bring a good heart into this job and provide excellent service, service with respect, that's a career well done. And I do really encourage people to take a look at it. I get emails a couple times a week from people that see those news articles, hear me on the radio, and they'll ask those questions. There's one sitting in my in basket now of, I'm not sure I want to do this, and I have some questions.
Right.
And for me, I think it's so important, whether it's me, whether it's any officers in our department, other departments, no matter your rank, when these students reach out, we have to answer those questions for them. We have to give them the support in those early stages to get through all the steps.
And Mike, so, if you had a message to give, you have about 30 seconds. Go for it.
Yeah, it's the most rewarding occupation. It's a great way to give back to your community. It's just very rewarding. There are some tough days, but it's a great job. It's a noble profession, and just I would encourage anybody who's looking into it to really go into it. And it's just a great way to give back to your community.
Yeah, you know. A lot of people are wondering right now that may be listening, boy, what would it be like without police officers on the street?
Every day is different.
Yeah, I can imagine.
In this job.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
And just when you think you've seen it all, you have not.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, a lot of people think that, you know, I can't do that job. But if they have more questions, can they reach out to you, Mary?
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you both so much for joining us tonight. Mary Nash is over at the St. Paul Police Department. She's the deputy chief there. Also, Mike Flaherty is deputy chief of public safety over at the City of Richfield's Police Department. So if you want to reach out to them at Richfield or in the St. Paul Police Departments, please do. All right, we're going to take a break. You are listening to Steel Talk. And by the way, coming up next, we're going to take a break at the top of the hour. But after we do a little bit of news, our first guest will be Dr. Simone Ahulu. And we're going to talk about being an entrepreneur and building your brand, how you go about that. Because, boy, with all the technology today, things are really, really changing. So thanks again to my guests, Mary Nash and Mike Flaherty. I appreciate your conversation tonight. All right. We'll be back in just a moment.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.